To the time I get to spend in Stern over the course of the year. I usually come around once a month, but it's always a memorable experience for me. I'll be here hopefully for a couple Shabbosim this year as well. And I hope to spend a little time in your beautiful Beit Midrash here. And I'm happy to speak. If anyone is available or free, wants to take advantage of that opportunity, I'm here for you when I'm here. Most of my time is obviously on the Uptown campus, but it's very nice to be with you. And as we come to the end of Chodesh Elul, with a lot of Rosh Hashanah thoughts on our mind, I want to try to grab on to the tail end of Elul, to really try to understand what Elul still offers us the opportunity to do, by way of preparing ourselves for Rosh Hashanah. So it's an Elul shir and it's a Rosh Hashanah shir, it's all combined. Rosh Hashanah is sometimes referred to in Tanakh by a code word. The code word is Hayom. Atem nitzavim hayom. This Shabbos will read, Atem nitzavim hayom. Hayom, the day is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar says so explicitly. If you look at the beginning of Sefer Iyov, you'll notice the beginning of Sefer Iyov, it was hayom, it was that day. And Rashi comments at the beginning of Sefer Iyov, hayom, it was Rosh Hashanah when the Satan came to try to malign Iyov and to bring his worthiness before Hashem. Hayom, the day. Why is Rosh Hashanah called Hayom? Rosh Hashanah is called Hayom, I think, very simply because we feel, correctly so, that it's the day that sets the tone for the entire year. Can we just pass back some source sheets? Is that okay? I'm sorry. Thank you. It's the day that sets the tone for the entire year. That's a perfectly acceptable way to look at the day. And even though Chazal tell us we're sort of judged on a smaller scale on a daily basis, but there's no question, there are many sources that indicate to us that Rosh Hashanah sets the tone for the entire year. What's the year going to look like? And to me, that sounds like a lot of pressure. To try to capture in a day or two, a Yoma Arichta, as Chazal referred to, but to try to think about what's going to be in Cheshvan, and Kislev, and Teves, Shvat, other, to try to think what's Nisan going to look like, what's Iyar going to look like, and to believe that really, in a certain sense, my behavior today is going to, again, set the trajectory, is going to point myself in a particular direction for the course of the entire year, is a very, very overwhelming thought. It's an extremely overwhelming thought. I put at the top of the page a quote from Rebbetzin Henny Machlis, Aleha Shalom, and she emphasized, we should live in the moment. Hayom. Hayom could have, what I was just describing a moment ago, this overarching Hayom, the entire calendar year before your eyes. That's a very intense way to look at Hayom. But Hayom, the message of Rosh Hashanah being Hayom, could just as well be Hayom. Hayom. Can I do this for one day? Can I be a good Jew for one day? Can I commit myself to mitzvos? And can I avoid negative behavior for a day? That I can probably do. Great, so can I do it the next day? Can I do it the next day? Can I do it the next day? In a certain sense, to be able to live in the moment, then we won't feel the pressure of there's a lot to do, she writes. She didn't mean you can't plan for tomorrow. Rabbi Tzimachlis' intention wasn't that live in the moment in an unhealthy way, where I don't even think about what happens tomorrow, let alone in a few days or in a week's time from now. What she meant is that whatever you are doing, do it with all your focus and concentration. And most important, you should think to yourself, there's only one thing to do, and that's whatever Hashem wants me to do right now. To focus on what is my avoda right now? What does today call for? And that's a much easier and maybe healthier way for a person to approach Hayom. Yes, there is a very real truth to that grand Hayom, that this sets the stage for the entire year. But also I have to be able to live life in the moment Hayom. Can I do what I need to do right now? Because when I look again with those eyes on the entire calendar, when I see the whole thing displayed before me, a person gets paralyzed by that. You're so overwhelmed by that. That what I'm going to do in the next couple of moments of Rosh Hashanah is going to affect a flat tire I get in Chodesh Iyar, that's very overwhelming. And that causes people to get stuck. They feel that they can't do anything. It becomes unmanageable. The Divrei Chaim, the Rebbe of Sanz, told the following mashal about tshuva. He said, imagine there was a poor woman who found an egg. And her children were very hungry. They were so excited. Oh, an egg. This is great. When was the last time we had an egg? And they divided up amongst the children. And the poor woman says, I have different plans. She says to her children, she says, we're going to take this egg. And we're going to take this egg. We're going to place it beneath one of our neighbor's chickens until the egg hatches. And then we'll have our own. And then we'll produce more eggs. And then we'll eventually, God willing, we'll produce so many eggs that we'll be able to not only eat eggs, but sell eggs. And when we sell the eggs, then we'll be able to buy not only some small chickens, hens, and roosters, but we'll be able to purchase some larger animals. Start a whole farm. We'll have cows and we'll have sheep. So the children are like, okay, and then we'll have meat. We'll be able to eat meat. Then we'll really have some good protein. She says, no. And then we'll be able to sell some of the animals. And we'll buy a big house. And we'll buy a big piece of property. And as she's speaking of her grand plans, of how this one little egg is going to be multiplied into many, many eggs, into many, many chickens, and eventually to buy a big farm and to buy a big house. And she's so excited that she's dreaming about all the things that she's going to do. As she's holding this one little egg in her hand, and her enthusiasm, she's waving her hands around, and the egg goes flying out of her hand, and that's the end of the egg. So Rav Chaim Halberstam, Sochusei again, Aleinu, Divrei Chaim said, that's how some people act with tshuva. We start getting into this mode of like, I need to make these grand plans about how this year I'm going to change everything. We think too big. Or even if we're thinking small in the moment, but we're already too many steps ahead of ourselves. And because of that, we end up with nothing at the end of the day. And therefore, the avoda of tshuva, in a certain sense, is to realize that if I start small, and this is really what I want to try to understand, as hinted to in a very deep secret about Chodesh Elul helps us to prepare ourselves to understand that a small action is also a very significant action. And without all of the cheshbonos of what it's going to lead to, and to start thinking about what's Nisan going to look like, what's Iyar and Sivan going to look like, what's next year Tammuz and Av going to look like, but just to start small. To mamish be able to start off very small. Let's look at the first source together. The B'nai Yisaschar of Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, it's a work that goes through the calendar year. It describes all of the holidays and reveals to us many deep inner secrets of the calendar year. It's a Hasidic work. B'nai Yisaschar writes in his writings on Chodesh Elul, he quotes from the Sefer Yetzira. Sefer Yetzira is one of the earliest works of Kabbalah that we have. The Sefer Yetzira says that every month has different things associated with it. What do I mean by different things? Every month has a letter of the Hebrew alphabet that's associated with it. Every month has an action, a certain emotion, a focus that's associated with it. Every month has a body part that's associated with it. Every month has a horoscope, a mazel, an astrological sign that's associated with it. Very deep ideas, and very often it's hard to kind of put the puzzle pieces together. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's much less obvious. So if I told you that the action for the month of Nisan is speaking, at first you might not understand what that is, but if you thought about it for a couple of moments, you'd say, of course. The Pesach Seder, the mitzvah of the Higadta Levincha, to speak, to convey the message, the story of Klal Yisrael. Kol amar be lisaper hareza meshubach. Pesach, the very word Pesach, alludes to sicha, conversation, the transmission of values. So the action for the month of Nisan is conversation, is communication, is talking. Okay, what's the action for the month of Elul? What is the emotion for the month of Elul? And what is the Hebrew letter for the month of Elul? What can we learn from it? So if you look in the Sefer Yetzirah, in source number one, again, the words are Kabbalistic a little bit. Himlich os yud, Hashem crowned the letter yud. So that's the letter of the month. The letter yud is the letter for Chodesh Elul. Bima'asa, with action. That is the action or emotion for the month of Elul. So if Adar is laughter and Nisan is speaking and Iyar is thinking, so Elul is action. Ma'asa, do something. And then he goes on, the Sefer Yetzira goes on and says, there's a horoscope and there's a body part. This is Chodesh El. So let's think about this for a second. Why is the action for Chodesh El action? Why is the emotion, why is the mission statement for Chodesh El ma'asa, do something? And why the letter Yud? The letter Yud is the smallest of letters. The letter Yud is the starting point of all letters. The Sfarim explained that if I was writing a Sefer Torah, and I took my quill in my hand, and I dipped it in ink, in dio, and I touched it down upon the parchment. If I literally just touched down upon the parchment and lifted up my quill, lifted up my pen, so to speak, and I said, what letter did I just draw? It's a dot, I don't know. What letter is a dot? I said, so pick a letter. What does it look like? Is it a kuf? It's definitely not a kuf. Is it a resh? Not a resh. What could it be? I guess it could be a yud. A yud is sort of like a small dot. Right? The starting point of every letter is when that ink first touches down. The smallest dot is a yud. Everything starts from yud. It's the smallest of letters, but in a certain sense, it's the deepest of letters. The Jewish people are called Yidin, Yudin. We're compared to the letter Yud. The Gemara in Menachos says that Yud is Meramis to Olam Haba. When God created the world, He created this world with the letter Hey, and Olam Haba with the letter Yud. So that small little Yud has a lot of potential. And I think what the Bnei Yisrael is telling us, what the Sefer Yetzirah is really telling us, Himlich os Yud b'masa. Masa means do something. Yud means the smallest of letters. But in Chodesh Elul, we have to believe as Jews that if I do a small little something, it could become a very big something. It could become a very big something, and maybe the thing that I'm describing as being so small, maybe in the Olamos, in the higher realms, is actually quite big. Maybe Hashem says, you thought it was a small act of chesed, you have no idea what it meant to that person, that kind word that you shared. You thought it was one word of Torah, you don't know the value, you don't know the price tag of one word of Torah, one word of tefillah, one gentle word to a person who's going through a tough time, you don't know how that could change their entire life. So the letter Yud represents that which is so small, and yet has that awesome raw potential. Masa means do something. Don't get stuck in Chodesh Elul coming up with these lofty plans. Just do something. Do a mitzvah. And believe in the power of that mitzvah, no matter how small or seemingly superficially insignificant that mitzvah might be. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, in the second source, Simcha le'ish b'ma'aneh piv. It's a great joy for a person, b'ma'aneh piv. Translate loosely when you hear a good reply. Simcha le'ish b'ma'aneh piv. When you get the answer you're looking for, a person is happy. V'davar be'ito matov. V'davar be'ito, and a word, be'ito in its time, a well-timed word, a well-timed remark, matov, how goodly it is, how wonderful it is. I saw a beautiful explanation, b'derech drosh, b'derech chasidus, from the Tosher Rebbe, Zatza. The Tosher Rebbe said, v'davar be'ito, when you time things right, When the timing is right, when you're able to actualize that potential, and you just do it, then ma tov. Ma means, right, the pashup shot, davar be'ito, a word that's well-timed, ma tov, how good it is. But ma means like mashahu, a kol shahu. Ma means something. Davar be'ito, if the timing is right, then ma, then even the smallest thing could be tov. If you time it well, if you understand its value. It could just be a ma, it could just be a crumb, it could be a morsel. It doesn't have to be something where you're trying to figure out how does this lead to something so much bigger. It's just ma. Ma means what? What is it? It's a small little thing. Tov, if it's davar be'ito, if the time is right. And Chodesh Elul, as the Kodesh Baruch was coming to us, we could all use a little bit more tefillah, we could all use a little bit more, more in the mitzvah category. We could all use a few even small victories over temptations in the Yetzer Hara. We could all use a ma, we could all use a mashu. And therefore, if we value it, if we appreciate it, if we understand the value of himlich os yud b'masa, to take the smallest of letters, the smallest of efforts, and to just act upon it, it could really, really change the course of our lives. They asked for Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the great goner of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's been about 20 years since he passed away, a little more than 20 years at this point. They asked Shlomo Zalman Orbach, what should a person accept upon himself or herself in the month of Elul? Everyone's looking for Kabbalos. What should I do? What should I change? People are trying to find creative ways. You read an Eitza in some Sefer. Oh, if you do this, it's Mesugal for good things. But Shlomo Zalman Orbach, being the true Gadol that he was, understood that sometimes you just have to pick something simple. It's brought in the Halichos Shlomo in source number 3. Shoalim al davar tikun hamasim b'yamim elu. They asked from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you're a great rabbi, you're a gadol b'Torah, you have it all figured out. So tell us, what should we do? People would say, Rebbe, give me advice. How should I change myself? How should I fix myself? Hayi rabbeinu madrich sheyekablu ha'atzvam litchazek b'meshach hashana haba b'davar misuyam. He says, pick something that can last the whole year. Well, if you're going to pick something big, it's not going to last. Pick something really small that you're able to do, that it's realistic for you to do. A davar misuyam, an identifiable thing that you could ask yourself, day in, day out, did I do it? And make it easy. We want something, we feel, nah, if it's too easy, then it's not worth anything. Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, pick something that's easy. Shelo hasharasam yuchlu lamad bo, that according to your estimation, you're able to do it from beginning to end. But you have to actually do it. Masa, you got to do it. You have to really pick something and say, this is what I'm going to do. There are stories of great people who pick such small things things which seem to be so much smaller than their spiritual level to work on. And they said not in their false humility, they said, this is what I'm working on. Rav Shach was known. Rav Shach decided he's going to bench out of a bencher. He's going to say every word out of a bencher. Rav Shach knew how to bench Baal Peh. He's Rosh Hashiva of Panovich. He knew the words of benching. He accepted upon himself, I'm going to look inside and say every word inside. And if that sounds easy, try it. Try it for a week. Well, you know how it goes. Pick something small. The parts of the davening that we know so well that we say Baal Peh, look inside. Make a commitment. I'm going to look inside. When I say Aleinu, I'm going to read it from the Siddur as opposed to saying it Baal Peh. I imagine most of us say Aleinu more than read Aleinu. But if we actually read it inside and slowed down a little bit, we'd see the words of Aleinu are amazing. And we'd become more cognizant of that. And it would change our Kabbalah al Machas Shemaim, but change our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, pick something small. Uberprat lahosif bekavanas halev betfila ubrachos. Pick something you're doing already. It's not, well, I usually daven mincha, so this year I'm going to start davening Maariv. How about I just daven mincha differently? How about I just daven shachars differently? How about the brachas that I make all the time, if I'm already making brachos, how about I pick one bracha that I'm going to work on this year? Hadama. Hadama is going to be my bracha this year. When I have my carrot sticks, I'm going to slow down a little bit and just think about a carrot growing in the ground and how that carrot eventually made its way to my local fruit and vegetable store and how we believe on a deeper level, b'hashkacha pratis, this carrot was created for me, b'shvili nivra ha'olam. And I take that carrot in my hand, which is going to nourish my body, and I thank Hashem for that. A simple bracha could become such a meaningful experience if we just slow down a little bit. If we put a little more intention into it, a little more kavanah into it. The Gemara says that David HaMelech instituted 100 brachos a day. The person's supposed to make 100 brachos a day. There was a terrible plague and people were dying, and David HaMelech came up with this takana, this fixing, 100 brachos a day. And sometimes there's questions, how do you get 100 brachos a day on Shabbos when you have less brachos in the davening? Okay. Well, you have to keep track of actually 100 brachos a day, but there's some Indian mea brachos b'chol yom. And David HaMelech attached it to a pasuk. Chazal and the Gemara in Menachos bring a pasuk. How do you know you're supposed to recite 100 brachos a day? Mea brachos. Because the pasuk says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shaol Me'imach. What does God desire from you? So the Gemara says, Al Tikri Ma Elomeya. Don't read the word Ma, read the word Mea. Does that make sense to us? The pasuk says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shaol Me'imach. So the rabbi says, well, no, don't read it Ma, just add an aleph in the middle, Mea. Mea means 100. So Ma means, what? What did they see in that pasuk, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shaol Me'imach? The Shla HaKadosh has an amazing explanation. The Shla HaKadosh says, you know what it means, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shaol Me'imach? Here's how the Shla explained it. Ma, what? Shaol Hashem Elokecha Me'imach. Hashem asks of you, Ma, to say what? To say why? To say wow? To live with a sense of wonder? Ma, Hashem wants you to say, what is this? This is unbelievable. There's so many things that we experience all the time and we take it for granted. I'm talking about physical things, I'm talking about spiritual things. We're not asking, what is this? With that sense of wonder, that first time we encountered it as a child. It could be a food item you eat all the time, but if you actually thought about the process of the growth of that item, how that came to be, the apple that you have as a snack every afternoon, if you would think about it, if you would close your eyes and picture that apple growing on the tree, you'd say, wow, this is a wondrous thing, the beautiful colors that Hashem painted this apple, and the process by which this apple grew. To be able to make a bracha over the apple with a sense of a wow, of what is this? This is amazing. And when a person experiences things, when we make birchas hamitzvos, or we have certain encounters, experiences in our life that warrant a bracha, sometimes we get used to it. A bracha on thunder and lightning. But think about it. What is that? How does this work? How does Hashem run His world? When you do a mitzvah, when you say birchas haTorah, when a Jew says birchas haTorah, before one studies Torah, you say it as part of the brachos in the morning. Or how about just the bracha, pokeach ivrim. Hashem, you give sight to those who are blind. Because when I'm sleeping, my eyes are closed. When I open my eyes, the fact that I can see today is the biggest bracha in the world. So sometimes it's not about doing something new in Chodesh El. It's taking something small that you're already doing and doing it with a new sense of enthusiasm, excitement, of wonder. Ma, wow, what is this? Make those same 100 brachas you're making already. You don't have to do something different. But do it with a sense of tremendous excitement. to breathe new life into a tefillah that you're already saying, not to take on some new tefillah, recobble upon yourself to start saying extra tefillahs, but to say the tefillahs that we're already doing with a deeper sense of appreciation for what it is. People sometimes feel that this is cheating. It's not cheating. I want to convince you today that it is not cheating. Doing the easy mitzvos, the ones that come to you easily, is not cheating. You shouldn't think of it that way. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, in source number 4. Ha'adam tzarech lechapes drachav la'asos kabbalah chazaka. Like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, about 100 years after him, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wrote in a letter in the Ur Yisrael, a person should seek out those things that one can commit oneself to wholeheartedly. Kima'at b'chol prate inyanav. To find the things that you can do well and continue to do them well, and maybe to do them even a little bit better. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Lishamer l'chol apachos es asher nokel lefanav. At the very least, keep the things that are easy for you. You're trying to figure out, I made some mistakes this past year. There are some averos that are really hard for you to conquer. So in a certain sense, you feel like that's the biggest deal, that those are the things I need to work on the most. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, in a certain sense, Hashem is more disappointed about those things which are easy for you. Why haven't you mastered those things which are easy for you? So focus on them. Ah, it's easy? Okay, well, if it's so easy, then why are you still making mistakes sometimes? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, at least work on those aspects of Torah that are easy for you to do. Uvezeh yesh derech asher yekayim mitzvos hatshuva berov chelkei avonosav. Start by fixing those parts that are easy. Sometimes, again, we want to fix something big, but it may be out of reach. It may be out of reach. We have bechira. Of course, we could choose to do it straight. But there are some things which maybe we're not up to it yet. I hope that doesn't sound heretical to say there's things that we're not up to yet. But a person devoted to Hashem has to be organized. So why not start with those things that are easy for you? Do the things you're already doing, just do it better. Daven better. Say the brachos better. Do the mitzvahs that you're doing better. Instead of taking something which is out of reach, which is going to stop after a couple of days. Pick something that's realistic for you. Ki beribu ha'avonos einam holchem achar ha'kamus. Look what he says. He says, Hashem doesn't add up your averos simply based on the quantity of averos. Lefi ha'minyan, rak lefi ha'echos. Hashem looks at the quality. So we sometimes think, oh, I understand what quality means. There are like really big averos, and then there are small averos. So I'm probably in trouble for my bigger averos. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, a deep psychological insight. You're actually in bigger trouble for your small averos. You know why? Because that's within reach. You could have worked on that. So maybe this is the year to work on it. Instead of trying to take on something which is out of reach for the moment, take on something which is within reach. Hainu mashenokka lefnei ha'adam l'kayim, that which is easy for a person to do. Hashem wants you to fix those things first. Aveira achas chomer yoser mikam averos. When you slip up in something which you should have fixed by now, but you haven't thought about enough to fix, you haven't worked on it properly, that might be more significant than a lot of other averos. Asher kaved lefanav, which are actually very difficult, and truthfully, Hashem didn't expect you to conquer that thing yet. Hashem understood that it's more understandable that you're slipping in that thing. It's too hard for you at this point. But what about those things that were easy for you? You made the brachos. Again, if you didn't make brachos, it's one thing. But you made the brachos. So Hashem says to you at the end of the year, why are 90% of your brachos meaningless? Why are so many of your Shmona Esrei's mindless? Why didn't you really think about it? You were saying Rafa'inu. Why didn't you picture someone? You didn't know one person in the world who was sick to think about when you said Rafa'inu? When you said Baruch Aleinu, you didn't know one person who could use a little more parnasa besides davening for yourself. It's in Lashon Rab, in Baruch Aleinu, in the plural. You couldn't think of one Jew who could use a little more financial support from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, right? So you're doing it already. It says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Hashem looks at those things very seriously. 3 lines from the end. V'chein ba'osa avera atzma, chelek katan mena. Sometimes the smallest aspect of the avera, hanaku lifnei ha'adam l'kayim, the part that was easy for you to get right, yoser chamer v'on shagadol. You're going to be held more accountable for it. So therefore, we don't need to be so creative during Elul. We don't need to dream big during Elul. We need to be Jews who understand that there are some simple things that are within reach that I can do better. And I'm going to commit myself to do it. I'm not going to be like that woman who's waving that egg back and forth with her grand plans of how one little egg is going to turn into a whole farm and turn into a big mansion. But just to say, I have an egg right now. I can feed my children with this egg, an act of chesed. Maybe that's the right option. More than confusing myself with all my grand plans. How many times have you heard people say, this time of the year, or how many times have we said it to ourselves, people are trying to self-assess, and they talk about their madrega, the level that they're on. I want to be on a higher madrega. I want to be able to be on a higher madrega. I know the mitzvahs that I did. I want to be on. People get very caught up in like this scoreboard. How many points do I have? How am I going to get to the next level? I'm in the amateur league. How am I going to get to the major leagues? Right? So I'll tell you again. Chodesh El is about maaseh. Let Hashem be the one who does the calculations. Let Hashem do the accounting. Maaseh, just do. Don't be so worried about figuring out exactly the scoreboard. Just get involved and do it. There's a beautiful teaching that goes back to Rav Moshe Leib Sasever, one of the early Hasidic Rebbes. It's quoted here in source number 5 by the Sefer Avir Yaakov, the Rebbe of Sadegura. He says here in the third line from Rav Moshe Leib Sasever, you'll understand the line in the tefillah from Rosh Hashanah that makes more or less no sense on a simple level. He said, it's in the third line, in source number 5. He quotes from Rav Moshe Leib of Sasev, Shishal, we say in the davening, Ki zocher kol hanishkachos atahu me'olam. Hashem, you remember that which is forgotten. Of course Hashem remembers that which is forgotten. Hashem's memory is not like our memory. Of course Hashem remembers everything. What are we saying? You remember that which is forgotten. What does that mean? Madu hanishkachos. Hashem remembers that which we forget. Hashem also remembers that which we remember. Halo dvarim she'inam nishkachos gam kin zocher. God remembers everything. What does it mean God remembers that which is forgotten? So he teaches us both when it comes to mitzvos and averos, how to become Jews who just do things, who focus on doing, and we don't get caught up on our successes too much, we don't get caught up in our failures too much. But we just become Jews who are active in the process of serving Hashem. Look what he writes. Va'omer, ki hu zocher hanishkachos daika. Hashem remembers the things specifically that are forgotten. What does that mean? When a person does a mitzvah and then forgets it. What does it mean to forget it? What does it mean to do the mitzvah and forget it? Sometimes we're so busy thinking about the mitzvah that I did, and, well, I did a mitzvah, so I don't have to do this other mitzvah because I'm good. I'm good with Hashem because I already did a mitzvah today. Right? Or a person becomes haughty because of the mitzvah that one has done. The proper way to do a mitzvah is what? Is to just do a mitzvah. Do the mitzvah and then forget about it. Don't think about it so much. Don't say, well, I did the mitzvah and my roommate doesn't do this mitzvah. You're thinking about it too much. What level am I on? I want to be on a higher level. I'm on a low level. Stop trying to figure all that out. Masa. Do a mitzvah and then just forget about it. Just forget about it. Don't keep a scoreboard in your head. Those mitzvos that a person does, v'shocheach v'sam, and I put them aside. I did what I had to do. I did the ratzon Hashem. Shalom mizga'a behem. I don't turn my mitzvah into a weapon to be better than someone else. I don't become haughty from my mitzvahs. So when you don't remember that mitzvah, when you intentionally forget that mitzvah, when you put it aside, I do my mitzvah, and then I don't over it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu zocher hanishkachos. Hashem remembers it specifically. Because Hashem says, good, it's not about points, it's not about reward, it's not about, God forbid, being better than someone else. It's about doing what's right because it's right. The fact that you did it and you didn't, you just did it. It's the right thing for a Jew to do. And then you forgot about it. Not forgot about it in an irresponsible way. Put it aside. Uve'eis shehu zocher, but if you remember it too much, said Rav Moshe Leib Sasever, umisga'a basi osav, and you're too proud of your mitzvah, so those things that we remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not impressed by that. Because you're not doing it for the right reason. You're doing it, you're too focused on the low lishma aspect of it. You're too focused on, what does this say about me? How are people going to look at me? What are people going to say about me? How do I size myself up compared to someone else? He says at the top of the left column, the same thing is true for Averos. For Averos, Hashem remembers that which you forget, and Hashem forgets that which you remember. What does that mean? V'chein lehefech. Im chas v'shalom adam o se'eza Avera rachmana litzlan. If a person, God forbid, does a sin, v'zocher osa, and you remember the Avera, you're mindful of the Avera, you want to learn something from that Avera, Libo Nishbar Bekirbo, your heart is broken within you because of that Avera. So then Hashem says, good, you learned from that Avera. Hashem says, I don't need to remember that Avera. If you remember it, I can forget it. But if you forget it, if you forget about that Avera, if you didn't learn anything from it, then Hashem during the Yom Ha'aram has to remind us of that Avera. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in the opposite way. Hashem is Zocher Kol HaNishkachos. If you forget it, Hashem remembers it. Again, for a mitzvah, if you forget about it, if you show, I'm not obsessing over it, I do what's right because it's right. Hashem says, ah, that's the type of mitzvah I like to remember. And by Neveira, it's the opposite. If you forget about it, Hashem has to remind you of it. But when it comes, again, I'm focusing on the mitzvah aspect. When it comes to the mitzvah, don't worry about the schar. Don't worry about the calculations. A Jew has to be involved in good things because it's good things. That's the avoda of these days. There's a beautiful quote from the poet William Wordsworth. It's a beautiful quote. Look at this quote. The best portion of a good man's life, his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. The things you did just because it was natural to do. You know, one of my students once told me, he said, Rebbe, he's a young married person. So he said, Rebbe, it was my wife's birthday and I bought her flowers. I said, that's so nice. It's a nice thing to do. Bought your wife flowers. That's great. So he said, because I read once, and he named a certain gadol, a certain biography that he read, I read that a certain gadol used to buy his wife flowers on her birthday. So I said, chaval, you just ruined it. You bought your wife flowers because you read that, you had to read that the Chafetz Chaim bought his wife flowers to know you should buy your wife flowers on her birthday? Too many calculations. You buy your wife flowers on her birthday because it's your wife's birthday. You buy her flowers. Right? Mitzvahs have to become natural to us. And the way to make them natural is not to be, again, obsessive with calculations and that picture of the scale in Shemayim during the Yom Naram. Chodesh El, as we prepare ourselves for the Yom HaDin, Masa, just do. Masa. Himlich Oz Yud B'Masa. Do something small and do it well and do it even if no one knows about it. Like William Wordsworth said, his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. That's the best part of your life. That's the part that Hashem is Zocher. Hashem remembers those parts. It wasn't a big deal for me. I didn't even think about it. It wasn't such a big deal. No one even saw what I did, and I didn't even think the other person appreciated it that much. But Hashem says the fact that you did it so naturally, and it was so wholehearted, Hashem says that's the ultimate mitzvah. Those are the best mitzvahs. That's the best way to do mitzvahs. Chazal tell us in the Medrash that the word va'ata with an ayin is a code word for tshuva. And now, va'ata. It's a code word for tshuva. I want to learn together. Yesterday was the yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim. The 85th yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim passed away in 1933. So I want to learn a piece of Torah from the Chafetz Chaim now, which is really gorgeous. From the Sefer Avos Chesed. It's in a footnote in the 11th chapter. And the Chafetz Chaim, again, gives us a simple mission statement for how to approach these days in a way that you're going to maximize the opportunity without being overwhelmed, again, by just the expansive responsibilities that are being placed upon us. To take it one step at a time in a way that's going to feel so good and be so right. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the Medrash tells us that Va'ata is a code word for tshuva. Va'ata, ma Hashem elokech, Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem elokech ha'shol me'imach. Va'ata means tshuva. So says the Chafetz Chaim, source number 6, V'nir Elisha zeu kovanas ha'medrash rabbah, ein Va'ata ele tshuva. Chazal revealed to us that whenever you see the word va'ata, end now, it means tshuva. Why is end now a code word for tshuva? Shenemar va'ata Yisrael ma'ashem elokech l'shol me'imach. Why is va'ata mean tshuva? U'lechora heichon romas tshuva b'tevas va'ata. Says the Chafetz Chaim, where it's bolded, where in the word end now, is there an allusion, is there a reference to tshuva? So the Chafetz Chaim says, because very often, again, we psych ourselves out. We're like that woman that I started with, that mashal of the woman holding the egg in her hand, with all sorts of cheshbonos, all sorts of calculations, and we psych ourselves out. Says the Chafetz Chaim, V'nucho lomar, Da'akavano hu zeu mashkasavnu, De'ikar koach ha'yetzer shumita ha'la'odam leimor, the main technique of the Yetzirah, to deceive a person, is that the Yetzirah says to a person, Hayom ein lecha panai lilmur. Today is not a good day. You're not going to be able to, it's not going to, you know, you should start when it makes more sense, when you're going to be able to continue it in the next day. All sorts of calculations. The Yetzirah gets you to delay. The timing is not right. Now's not a good time to read a pasuk. Because the Yetzirah wants you to believe that. What's the value of just one pasuk? What's the value of one pasuk? We have no idea. All I can tell you is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that a second of Olam Haba is better than all of the pleasure in this world and all of world history combined. So if Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, you only have a couple of seconds, and you're thinking, well, what's the, you know, like, this is not going to be something that necessarily continues. I'm not starting a daily chavrusa at this time, these 12 seconds. But you decide, you know what, I pick up a chumash, I open it at random, and I literally read one word of the Torah. You don't know what that's worth. Va'ata, right now. The Yitzhar wants you to say, nah, what can I do in a couple of seconds? Now it's not, the timing's not right, it doesn't make sense, all sorts of calculations. And by the time you're so busy adding it all up, so your time is up. If you would have just acted masa, this is a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to learn, there's a mitzvah to daven. Okay, so I can't say all of Tehillim. People have these big plans, you know. I'm going to say during the Aser Samei Tshuva, all of Tehillim. You know what else? It's mesugol, it's brought down in Svarim, it's a nice thing to do. During the Aser Samei Tshuva, to finish Tehillim from beginning to end. You know what else is nice to do during the Aser Samei Tshuva? Say one word of Tehillim. That's also a nice thing to do during the Aser Samei Tshuva. Or five psukim of Tehillim. Or whatever you can do. Masa. Masa. Chodesh El says, as you come to the new year, masa, just start doing. And automatically, mitzvah goreres mitzvah. You'll come to good decisions which will lead to better decisions. Don't let the Yetzer Hara say, now is not the time for learning. Now is not the time to be osek in mitzvos. At a different time, at a different place, in a different context, that would be a better time to do this mitzvah. And it's simply not true. The Torah wants us to get started. That's what Chazal said, va'ata. You want to do tshuva? It starts when? It starts creating this perfect environment for tshuva? No, it starts right now. Tshuva is a decision that I want to turn back towards Hashem, to be closer to Hashem. In any given moment. I want to do something for a Kaddish Baruch. And then he says in the second paragraph, take a look at this, v'shamati b'shem gon echad sha'amar. The Chafetz Chaim said, I heard in the name of a great Torah giant, doesn't name who it is, sha'adam tzarech l'sha'er b'nafsho shlosha dvar. My friends, if you could think about these three things that the Chafetz Chaim is about to tell us, it will change your life. I don't like when people get up and say like things like that, you know, oh, what I'm about to tell you is going to change your life, but this really could change your life. This really could change your life. These three very simple pieces of advice from the Chafetz Chaim. One, echad, she'ein lo ela yom echad l'chayot. Now this one's a little heavy, so you don't have to absorb it in a healthy way. Right? The Chafetz Chaim says the first thing you need to think about, as the Yitzhar is telling you, wait for a different time, a different context, a better opportunity to come your way. This mitzvah's not worth it. There's better mitzvahs around the corner. Imagine, says the Chafetz Chaim for a second, echad she'ein lo ela yom echad l'chayot. Imagine this was your last day. Now again, that's a very heavy way for a person to live their life, to live every day as if it's your last. But there also is a very painful and tragic reality that sometimes a person gets up in the morning, imagining they've got years and years and years to live, and it becomes their last day. It literally becomes their last day. So if it was your last day, would it have been worth it to grab on your way out of this world, would it have been worth it to grab an extra word of Torah? Probably. And if you knew it was your last day, would you grab that one word of tefillah? Probably. And if it was your last day, even though you were a little bit late for class, right, would you take those literally extra 10 seconds to say the Asher Yatzar a little bit better? Probably wouldn't be going to class if it was your last day. Right? But would you do it right? And the answer is probably. So says the Chafetz Chaim, number one, think about the fact that you don't always have all the time in the world. So when you're waiting for that perfect environment to get serious about a particular mitzvah, just do it. Maybe, who knows if there'll be a tomorrow? God forbid, it's a tragic way to look at things. It's a scary way to look at things, but it's also true. Every second in time is a unique moment in time. So why wait for some type of, you know, perfect environment? Va'ata means tshuva. Do tshuva now. Number two, gam she'ein lo ela perek mishnayis echad o daf gemara echad mashu osek bo'ata. People are sometimes so scared of Torah because the corpus of Torah literature is huge. It's endless. Look at this base medrash. Look how many books are on the wall. And this is a tiny, tiny percentage of the Torah that exists in the world. A tiny, tiny percentage. So you say, it's overwhelming. How am I ever going to finish anything? So says the Chafetz Chaim, who told you need to finish anything? Right now you have one Mishnah in front of you, he says, one Daf of Gemara, one Pasuk, one Rashi, one piece of Ramban, one Perek of the Mesilas Yesharim. Who says you have to finish the book? Who says you have to finish anything? Right now you have something in front of you, an opportunity to do, so do. Enjoy it, do it. Serve Hashem in that way. Be osik in that mitzvah right now. And number three, Gam Shehu Yisrael Echad. Imagine you were the only Jew on planet Earth. Because sometimes, again, the first mistake we make is we think we have all the time in the world. And sometimes, at some point, it actually is our last day. And sometimes we're too scared to start because we're intimidated by just, again, the awesome amount of what there is out there to learn and to do and to know. So how can I even get started? It's too much. Says the Chafetz Chaim, so just focus on that one pasuk that you're up to. Don't worry. You don't have to make a plan to finish Tanakh. You'll finish Tanakh if you learn one pasuk, and then you learn another pasuk, you learn another pasuk, you'll make a siyum on Tanakh eventually. But you don't have to work it all out right now. Just start. Start learning a pasuk of Tanakh. If you do a parak, do a parak. Whatever it is. And number three, says the Chafetz Chaim, sometimes we don't take ourselves seriously enough because there's plenty of other good Jews around me. Hashem has plenty of better Jews. Hashem has other people who do mitzvos. What does Hashem need me for? So says the Chafetz Chaim, imagine for a moment, Gam Shehu Yisrael Echad, Shekodesh Baruch Hu Mitzaveyu Al Kiyum HaTorah. Imagine you're the only Jew in the world who has ever given the Torah. It's you or it's nobody. So now is it worth it to do it? Well, I'm not so good at doing it, but it's me or it's nobody, then I guess I'll do it. It's not like someone else could do this mitzvah better. There is no one else. Says the Chafetz Chaim at the end, I'll just paraphrase for the sake of time. He says, we daven over this every single time we say Shema. What do we say in Shema? We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshcha b'chol moledecha. Hashem, I want to serve you with all my heart and all my soul and all my faculties. But how am I going to do that? That's a lot. So we answer that question in Shema with these three pieces of advice. V'hayu hadvar ma'ela. Focus just on hadvar ma'ela, whatever it is that's in front of you. Again, like the Chafetz Chaim said, don't look at the Shas on the wall and say, how am I going to finish Shas? Don't look at all of Tanakh and say, how am I going to finish Tanakh? Don't look at every halacha and Mishnah Berurah and say, I'll never finish the Mishnah Berurah, let alone the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. V'hayu hadvar ma'ela. You have words of Torah in front of you. That's it. That's all you need to focus on right now. Not the pasuk before, not the pasuk after. V'hayu hadvar ma'ela. Number two, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom. Asher anochi mitzavecha. Imagine that you're the only one being commanded. Imagine that you're the only Jew in the world. And hayom. And imagine today is the last day of your life. V'hayu hadvar ma'ela. Focus on what's in front of you. Asher anochi mitzavecha in the singular, that you are being commanded. You're the only Jew who's going to uphold the entirety of the Torah based on your decision to do or not to do. And then hayom, to do with a sense of alacrity, with the realization that today may be the only day. God forbid that that should be true, but that's unfortunately reality sometimes. And at some point that becomes our reality. Don't take your life for granted. If you have an opportunity to do something, do it. And realize that it adds up to a lot. Chodesh El is the last month of the calendar year, counting from Tishrei, of course. Right? We are living now, many indicators of this, not offering a prophecy, but it seems pretty clear to us from a variety of Torah sources that we're living in the period at the end of time. This is the last month, and we're the last generation before Mashiach comes. And being the last are sometimes very overwhelming. It's very frightening to be the last. It seems like a big achrayus to be the last. We're supposed to put the finishing touches on bringing Mashiach. How are we going to do it if those who came before us, who were greater than us, weren't able to do it? So let's learn one more piece of Torah inside together. The Shem Yishmuel in source number 7. I know we only have a couple minutes left. The Shem Yishmuel is commenting on a Gemara in Maseches Sota, where the Gemara in Maseches Sota says, "Minayin shekol pruta upruta mitzterefes l'cheshbon gadol." How do you know that every penny that you put in the pushka eventually adds up? Minayin shekol pruta upruta. How do you know it adds up? The context of the Gemara actually is in the context of averos. That if you just do a lot of small averos, eventually, Hashem may not punish you for every little infraction, but eventually it's going to add up and there's going to be consequences. So the Gemara says, yes, you need to know that every little bit adds up. How do we think about that in the context of tshuva? Let's just read the second paragraph of the Shem Yishmuel together. The Shem Yishmuel writes, Ulitfi hadvar ma'ela, in source number 7, the second paragraph. Ulitfi hadvar ma'ela yuvan masha isa besvar. Shekol ish Yisrael osa tshuva le'is mitzoy ha'nefesh. Do tshuva even when you feel that I can't do a complete tshuva. When I feel mitzoy ha'nefesh, when I feel the pressure of just starting a new semester in college, I'm supposed to be thinking about Rosh Hashanah. I'm trying to figure out my schedule, I'm trying to get my classes in order. And then what, after Shabbos, I'm just like thrown into Rosh Hashanah, lifnei ha'melech. Okay, so I got to learn a little bit, I heard a couple of shirim, I said a little slichos. Right. I'm not ready to do tshuva in the way that I imagine tshuva is supposed to be done. Says the Shem Yishuel, even when the opportunity is not fully there, do the tshuva that you can do. Even if in that particular moment you're not able to do a complete tshuva, I learned the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. I know what tshuva is supposed to be, and I'm not ready to do that. I cannot do tshuva gemura. It's too hard. So what are my choices? Do nothing, or do something. Says the Shem Yishuel, so do something. See, you don't realize that Hashem keeps such a precise accounting of your life, that Hashem might take a drop of tshuva here, and a drop of tshuva there, and a drop of tshuva here, to the point that you looked at each of those independently as, nothing so special. But Hashem adds it up. And you know what he says? We can look at it on the grand scale. Sha'atshuva mikol Yisrael u'mikol yimei ha'galus mitzarefes l'tshuva achas shleima karoi. Hashem might take the last 2,000 years since we haven't had a Beis HaMikdash, and you're thinking, well, how am I going to bring the Beis HaMikdash? You know how you're going to bring it? You're going to put those last little bit of tshuva on the scale to tip the scale. That's all you need to do. Maybe to achieve tshuva gemura, you just need to put the finishing touches on everything that happened before us. Instead of trying to figure out how am I going to do the whole thing, you don't have to do the whole thing. Maybe you just need to add your little contribution, and that's all it's going to take to bring the geula. And he says three lines from the end. V'lo yipalei be'einenu. It shouldn't be surprising to us. B'chol yom v'yom l'chakos l'bias Mashiach tzidkenu. So we ask ourselves, how am I going to bring Mashiach? How are we going to make it happen? We're so far from Mashiach with this feeling, I have to do everything. It could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this pile of mitzvos, of tshuva, of ma'asim tovim that's growing and growing and growing and growing. And all it's going to take is one second, one little final push to just tip the scale. And that's how there can be, yes, a mitzvah to believe in Mashiach every day. Even though it takes tshuva shleima to bring Mashiach. I can't do tshuva shleima. Again, you're not working independently. You're part of a Klal Yisrael. You're part of all those people who came before you. All you have to do is put the finishing touches on. And that takes a little bit of courage to just do something. Like the Chavetz Chaim said, imagine this is my last day, I'll do whatever I can. Understand that what? I don't have to worry about all of the mitzvahs and all of the Torah. Focus on what's in front of me right now. And again, with the unbelievable understanding that a person has the opportunity to do something, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to get caught up in all of these different calculations. But I'm going to do whatever I can. And then, like the Gemara says, kol pruta prutza misarefes l'cheshven gozal. Eventually it does add up. So I give us a bracha as we put the finishing touches on Chodesh El. Again, the last of months, we're the last of generations. We're trying to accomplish a lot as we prepare ourselves for the entirety of Hayom, Rosh Hashanah. But also remember the Heni Machlis model of Hayom, that small version of Hayom. Take that little egg that you have in your hand and do something with it right now, instead of dreaming about all the things you could do with it in the future. And then Amir Tzashem, if we become Jews who do, for the Rabbona Sholem. And if we just become people who are involved in doing good things, then Amir Tzashem, Hashem will answer all of our tefillos, we'll all be zocha to chsiv v'chsimatam.